tiene idea.
Prepara, la prepara y la tira dura contra la mesa que estaba ahí depositada contra la madera. Vaya, rompe la mesa con tu vaya.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Drunk Wrestling History. As you might notice, I am not your designated host, Adam. I am the wife, Carissa. The other wife, Shannon, is sleeping.
Done drinking.
She's not sleeping, but she's on her way to passed out.
Almost sleeping. So we are just bringing you a little tidbit tonight. I'm sorry. First of all, thank you for joining us. Second of all, introduce yourselves.
This is Eddie Woozle-Wazzle.
Woozle-Wazzle. And you don't this even is, know your own catchphrase.
It's so stupid.
You must be so embarrassed.
You must be so embarrassed.
And this is Scott. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
And at this point, we're all drinking Jaeger again. Woohoo, shots.
Time for Jaeger shots.
No, Stravia.
Dive.
Shots.
Oof.
It's so terrible. Why do we drink that? I don't know. Anyways, thank you for joining us. And tonight we are going to be briefly talking about Bobby Heenan, who, as I think we've established in the last couple episodes, I was not part of. I just started watching wrestling a scant 11 years ago. I don't know who that is. I don't care.
Go! Oh! Go! Oh!
I'm going to take a break. You may or may not be blessed with me for the outro. We'll see if I come back in time. Go, boys.
All right. Well,
the idiots have been handed the reins.
It's going to be bad, you guys.
It is, in fact, it's getting trouble now. Time.
So basically, our idea of this, so we briefly mentioned a couple weeks ago when we were talking about things that happened in the last decade. I think we mentioned him, right? We mentioned that Bobby Heenan died,
yes.
Right? So we did a thing about all the people who died. But we sort of glossed over the brain because we were saving it for this episode. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, the brain is... Well, Scott and I have talked about this. The brain is, if you want to look at the best overall performer...
I'm not back, here is the outro information.
There's your script.
Thanks for fucking up the rotation. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anyway, we've talked about this before, and we feel that as an overall performer, as far as being working at a very high level at everything in wrestling, Bobby Heenan's it, right? He's the best. He's the absolute. He might not be the best at every individual thing. Like, he's not the best wrestler, right?
Right.
But nobody did things at a higher level, all of the things at a higher level than him.
Maybe he wasn't even the best commentator or the best manager, but...
Oh, no, he was both of those.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is...
I know.
As an all-around performer that could announce, commentate, manage, you name it, wrestle, it was Bobby Heenan. All around, he is hands down... The best of all time.
The top guy.
He is the top guy.
Right. Nobody was at that good at that many things as him. Right? So, like, I think... I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's more known for his commentary? With Gorilla was just fucking stellar. But what do you think he's more known for? His commentary or being a manager?
I would actually say both. We did take a few notes on Bobby Heenan here. So, to touch on your point, I remember him... most as a commentator or an announcer, whatever you want to, primetime wrestling with Gorilla.
Right.
That to me is the cream of the crop.
Right.
There are none better. It's Gorilla and Bobby. The way that they would, excuse me, the way that they would go back and forth, they don't have equals back then or today. Anywhere in between.
And I would say no one's even a close second, right? Like maybe second place would be...
Jesse Ventura and Gorilla.
That probably my second place. And I would say JR and The King are like right below them.
Sure.
But there is a big gap
between
Jesse and Gorilla and Heenan and Gorilla. Like huge.
Yes.
I mean, a big, big... It's like if there were a set of stairs, there'd be about 8 or 9 steps between them.
Like, correct.
Yeah, they were far and above beyond everyone else.
Correct.
Far and beyond above everyone else.
So to go into Heenan as a manager, let's touch on some of the guys that he managed, right? He had Heenan families in both the excuse me, the AWA and the WWF. Notable names: Nick Bockwinkel,
mm-hmm.
Black Jack Lanza,
yeah,
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, Andre the Giant.
Wait, did he manage? Did he manage Orndorff in AWA?
He did not in WWF.
When? I don't.
Yeah, like right after he turned on Hogan.
He wasn't in his corner at one, was he?
No, Orndorff turned face right after that.
Yeah.
And then Orndorff, I believe, was still face at WrestleMania 2.
He was.
And then Orndorff turned on Hogan.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Bobby
yeah,
Heenan
yeah.
became his manager.
Right, 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 right.
Right. So managed Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
The Brainbusters, Hercules, King Harley Race, King Haku, Big John Studd, The Narcissist Lex Luger, King Kong Bundy, and probably the biggest out of all the names that he managed, the Red Rooster.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Did you mention Mr. Perfect?
Also Mr. Perfect.
Right. I mean, he's nowhere. He's not in Red Rooster's league.
Well, who is?
I don't want anyone to mistakenly think that I thought of Mr. Perfect because you mentioned Red Rooster, because they're like, yeah, they're.
Well, there's also.
They're not on the same level.
There's also a few other names that I left out, and I'm going to get to that now.
Okay.
Bobby Heenan also managed Nick Bockwinkel as the AWA heavyweight champion. Mr. Perfect as the WWF Intercontinental Champion, mm-hmm. Ravishing Rick Rude as the WWF Intercontinental Champion, the Colossal Connection as the WWF Tag Team Champions, also the Brainbusters as the WWF Tag Team Champions, and finally Ric Flair as the WWF Heavyweight Champion, making Bobby Heenan a Grand Slam Champion manager in WWF. And as of Ric Flair winning the heavyweight title, the only one to have done so.
No, he would have been a Triple Crown.
Or a Triple manager, Crown. Right, thank you. Right. Not Grand Slam.
There was no Grand Slam back then.
Right. So Triple Crown, yes.
But I mean, that was as good as you could do. Like, I mean, nobody had credentials. And there probably is not a Grand Slam manager, right?
Correct.
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was, as a manager, he was. Heenan was awesome because he was balls fucking deep in whatever was going on. You know what I mean? Like, he was constantly harassing Hogan.
Yes.
Right? Or whoever was the IC champ or the tag team champs.
Hogan was always facing the Heenan family.
Yeah, Heenan was like a instigator.
Yes.
I mean, he was just a shithead.
Well, if you were the Ultimate Warrior, if you were Hulk Hogan.
Right, he was fucking with you.
If you were the British Bulldogs, Heenan was in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
In your face. He had the Islanders kidnap Matilda. Right? He had Andre the Giant turn heel against Hulk Hogan,
right.
Which nobody in 1987 or 86 saw coming.
Yeah,
absolutely. He took Mr. Perfect to the Intercontinental Championship, managed the Brainbusters when they came in addition to Ric Flair, managed 3 out of the 4 horsemen in WWF and led them to gold. And, I mean, from commentating to managing to announcing to you name it, Heenan did it. He could wrestle as he did at 4.
Yeah.
Against the Bulldogs and Coco Beware. Mm-hmm. He had weasel suit matches against the Ultimate Warrior. He wrestled at 5 against the Red Rooster after Red Rooster defeated Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy could do it all, and he could bump like nobody else in the ring and make his opponent look like $1 million.
He would bump his ass off, and he would do it in a funny way, but he wouldn't do it in a cartoony way.
Right.
Like, he literally was like just short of being cartoony. Like, it was believable. You know what I mean? Like, he looked like he was getting his ass kicked, but it was funny.
Yes.
But it wasn't so funny that it was like...
it wasn't disturbing.
Like, no, not disturbing, but like just too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, just too... Like, okay, for example, Jimmy Hart, sometimes I thought would get beat up and just sort of play it a little too much where it looked like a joke.
Right.
You know? He didn't look like he was fucked up. You know? Like, dude, like at 2, right? What do you got... Two, Hogan whipped Bundy's ass, and then he was like, hey, I think I'd like to whip Bobby Heenan's ass while I'm here. And he brought him in the ring, and he, like, didn't he, at one point he put him on the top turnbuckle or something. Like, didn't Hina? Oh, Hina was trying to climb out of the cage.
Yeah.
And Hogan grabbed him and pulled him down and fucked him up. You know, I mean, like, he could take an ass kicking. Like, I don't think there's a guy in WWE now who could take an ass kicking. Well, like,
Paul Heyman doesn't take that shit.
Oh, fuck no. But I mean, even like a No Way Jose,
right?
Or I don't know. Even, or like, okay, the Revival sometimes do comedy matches.
Yes,
they don't. even those guys don't just take a beating the way Heyman did. Like, he walked a very fine line between being believable and being too much. And it was funny and you loved it, but you bought into it. Like, you were like, he's getting fucked up.
And he was such a good heel back in the day that he could make you hate his guts to the point where 20 plus years later, now you love the guy. And mm-hmm. you go back mm-hmm. and you watch his body of work.
Right.
And you gain such an appreciation for what he did.
Exactly.
For everything he did as an all-around performer from top to bottom.
Right.
And you're like, man, that guy really did it all. And he did it all for the better of the company. When the AWA was losing guys left and right to the WWF, Bobby Heenan was the only guy that actually served out the term of his contract.
I've heard that.
He was the only guy.
Yeah.
And he did that because of his word to Vern Gagne.
Right.
That tells you what type of person he is, because he could have immediately gone to WWF and started making way more money, but he didn't.
And I guarantee you, I know Vince was notorious for trying to get guys to just cancel Jump. Their bookings and no-show. I guarantee you Vince respected Bobby Heenan for that.
Oh, there's no doubt
about
it. Right,
because he didn't cancel his contract. He made him a huge star for the next eight or 10 years.
Because Heenan left, I believe, in like 93, 94, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so he was there like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Vince respected him for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was that
kind of
guy.
They never said a bad word of Heenan. As far as I remember, when he left for WCW to go announce on Nitro.
Oh, no, never.
And that was Heenan leaving for not just a better deal financially, but a better deal for him to be a family man. It kept him closer to his family the way that they booked WCW.
Right.
So you can't really fault a guy for that. He wasn't leaving for money. He was leaving for ease of schedule. And he went out the right way with WWF.
And he was like 50-ish. Like, he was an older guy at that point, right?
Yeah.
He'd been on the road long enough. Absolutely. I'm sure he would have told Vince, like, I'm leaving for this reason.
Right.
For a reduced schedule. Also, I heard that... when he went there, he was considered not management, but corporate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He wasn't that. So, you know how wrestlers are contractors?
Yes.
So Heenan would have been a contractor in WWE. I read an interview with him at one point where when he went to WCW, he was not a contractor. He was an employee. So he got benefits.
Perfect.
And that was a big deal to him. I remember hearing him say that, like, this, that was big.
So you can't fault a guy for that. And I don't remember. Because WWF took constant shots at the Nacho Man, the Huckster. You know, they took a lot of shots at guys that had bounced from the Federation, but they never did that with Heenan.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's to your point that he left for the right reasons
and
not because he was trying to hunt down the dollar bill, as a lot of other guys did when they bounced.
And Vince was a businessman. Vince understands, like, they can give you a deal that I can't, and I understand that deal is better for you and your family.
Yep.
So, and also, he was at 17, right? That was right after the buyout. He would have been the first guy. He and Mean Gene would have been the first two guys to come back to the company after they bought out WCW. So, like, just from that alone, you could tell, like, the way they felt about him. You know, like, they held him in high regard. And it would have been 3 years later that they put him in the Hall of Fame. And that was...
Right.
They had taken a break because they did Andre in, I want to say, 93. They put him in the Hall of Fame. And then, like, maybe 94, they put, like... I don't know, like Bobo Brazil and someone else.
I forget who it was, but then they took a break. Yes.
And I want to say, I'm not sure, but 20 might have been the first year. Like, that would have been 2004, right?
2004, yes.
So they might have done like 93, 94, 95, and then they didn't do another class of the Hall of Fame until 2004, and that was when Heena went in. So, like,
it became an event.
Right, and he would have been as quickly put in the Hall of Fame as was possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
WWF thought very highly of him.
Right,
so, yes,
I
actually have that in my notes here.
Yeah.
He made it into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2004. He managed the main event challengers in back-to-back WrestleManias. King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. And unfortunately, we lost Bobby Heenan in 2017. And you look at the guys that we've lost over the last decade, and we talked about this in the Decade in Review show, that is the one really for me that like that hit me the hardest. We lost a lot of names.
Totally, totally.
But Bobby Heenan was that guy that as much as you hated him as a kid, when you got older and you went back and looked and you watched the Bobby Heenan show.
And you got what was going on.
Yes. Yeah. You listened to his commentary with Gorilla and as much as they bickered, those guys loved each other. And it just came across on camera as like brothers that loved each other at their core but would fight like mad. But you got it.
And even at Heenan's Hall of Fame speech, there was that one famous clip they played a lot of times where he says, I wish Monsoon was here.
Yes.
And I felt the same way. I was like, damn it, I wish Monsoon would have made it to this. Like, because Monsoon would have been so proud of him.
You would have.
You know?
He would have. Yeah, it was like they were brothers, dude.
You couldn't do even like being like nemesis.
Yeah.
Nemesis? Would it be nemesis?
Nemesis?
Is that
nemesis
the plural?
With an apostrophe?
Nemesis is...
Sure. Let's go with that.
Even being enemies.
Yes.
You couldn't do that well without having chemistry.
Yes.
And you couldn't have that kind of chemistry without being like legit friends and like having a level of respect with each other.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, it worked because of who they were. And
yes.
Yeah. I mean, you go back and listen to it now and you can hear it.
And Heenan worked with a lot of different. Yeah, Heenan worked with a lot of different guys behind the mic.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked with different guys at WCW, WWF, but that
he worked with Mike today.
He did. That chemistry with Gorilla though has yet to be matched. 30 some odd years later.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there will ever be a pairing that's going to be as great as the Gorilla and Bobby. And to your point, in 2004 at the Hall of Fame, I wish Gorilla could have been there with Bobby. It would have been such a great moment for the fans. And we're trying very, very hard not to get emotional during the show because we loved Bobby so much. And we're so sad that he's gone. That is absolutely the most crushing blow of all the amazing talent that we lost in the last decade.
Yeah.
And
it was.
Kudos to Bobby Heenan for everything he accomplished. And if you have a chance, just go back on the network, watch his body of work. It's incredible. He was given his own time slot from
the Bobby Heenan show.
The Bobby Heenan show.
And I think it's listed under Tuesday Night Titans.
Yes.
It's like, you can find it. I don't know exactly how you find it, but it's on the network. It's there.
Yep.
You just got to, I think if you search Bobby Heenan show, it's there, but maybe you search Tuesday Night Titans. But yeah, he actually was given his own, like a moment of bliss. But it wasn't that. It was like he actually got like a half hour. It was a half hour, an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was his show. Like, he was that fucking good. And like,
he had guests.
Like, we were saying about how much Vince liked him.
Yep.
Vince gave him that much TV time, where it was like, this is your show. And from what I understand, he was actually given creative control. Like, he was Johnny Carson.
Right.
And he could have been Johnny Carson. Like, he was that fucking funny and witty. Like, Bobby Heenan would have been great in any kind of entertainment endeavor he would have gone into, right? It's just like, luckily for us, he picked wrestling.
Yes.
If he wanted to be a comedian, he would have been a fantastic... He would have been like a Rickles, right?
Well, exactly,
he would have been a killer comedian.
He was so quick.
He could have been a talk show host, anything like that. And like, right, like, luckily for us, he went into wrestling.
It just seemed that whoever sat next to him, they could throw anything at him.
Right.
And he could serve it back.
Right.
And be the biggest heel. And as a kid, you hated his guts.
Yeah.
But as you become an adult, you gain such an appreciation for what he brought to the business. Everything was about the business. He was such a WWE guy.
Yeah.
And, man, I miss him tremendously. He was the biggest loss for me in the last decade. There wasn't a harder one than Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Mean Gene probably would have been second.
Right, right.
But, man, again, if you have a chance, go back. Just watch his body of work in the WWE, from being a manager to a talk show host to an announcer to a commentator. He did it all,
right?
And nobody was better at it.
When he died, it's one of those rare things where you'll always remember where you were.
Yes.
I was with Carissa. She was getting her ring cleaned at Shango. By the way, Shango, if you would like to sponsor us,
you have
a tremendous product. Your warranty is second to none. And maybe you could hook us up with a case of beer or something.
Remember the very first episode when I told everyone my ring broke?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it broke the fuck. Like, I took it to Shanko and they're like, oh, we have to take it. Like, didn't get charged anything. Like, there were at least three diamonds missing. They have to remold the entire thing, and it's not going to cost me anything. That's their warranty.
Thank you, Shanko.
Shanko, please sponsor us.
Okay, way to put the brakes on the podcast.
I thought it was tough.
But yeah, you texted me. You said, dude, Bobby Heenan just died, and he'd been sick for a long time. Well, we met him in Jersey, right? In 2004, when he went in the Hall of Fame.
You did. I did not.
Wait.
I think
that was 2004. Yeah.
But he was upstairs, I think.
He was upstairs. So we went to meet Trish, right? It was some bookstore in Jersey. So we stayed in New Jersey like fucking idiots. Not that I'm talking shit about New Jersey, but the traffic getting into Manhattan.
Not to talk shit about Jersey again.
No, and you know what? Actually, to be honest, a few episodes ago, I talked shit about New Jersey, and I called it the shitty New York.
Yes.
And that was rude. I shouldn't have said that. New Jersey's not shitty New York.
It's a little true.
It's shitty Pennsylvania. but we went to a bookstore somewhere in Jersey because Trish was doing a signing there, right? So we bought like her DVD or something. And when we got there, the Brain was there upstairs doing a signing. We didn't even know. It wasn't even advertised.
No, he was just there.
And I went up there and I bought his book from him. I got it signed. And actually, he said something really funny. And I wish I could remember what it was, but this is 15 years ago now. But I was just, that's got to be like the top guy I ever met. I was so cool. And then we went downstairs to meet Trish, right?
And big time Rikishi.
And we big time Rikishi because we were there to meet Trish. And so Trish was first. So when you wait in the line, you come up to meet Trish. And the Rikishi's at the table next to her.
Yeah.
And all of us went up to Trish, like gushed over her.
Yeah.
Scott put her on the phone with Shannon.
Oh, is that one? You have to tell that story in more detail because that's amazing.
I'm telling it. And then we walked right past Rikishi.
Yeah.
We just completely ignored his ass. Big time. Like, yeah. We were like, oh, okay, yeah, Rikishi.
I'm at the cool. Trish story in more detail because it's really good.
I don't think I can tell it more detail than that.
Well, yeah, I called Shannon because Trish, as she made very clear in the Decade in Review show, is her number one female of all time. So I had worked it out with her sister because I actually traveled to New York with her sister. And I was like, look, we're going to go meet Trish. I've got to have her talk to Shannon. So I actually called Shannon while we were in the basement of Bookends, which is where
Bookends,
the signing...
that's what it was called. Yeah,
where the signing happened. We're in the basement, and there's Rikishi and Trish, and I'm like, I've got to get her on the phone now. So I call her up. Luckily, I had reception down there. And I get up to Trish, and I'm like, hey, Shan, hold on. Here's Trish Stratus. And I hand the phone to Trish.
She did talk to her, which was...
It was really cool. It was cool.
No, she totally did. She like just took the phone from me. She's like, oh, hey, Shannon, how are you? Didn't know me from Adam.
So fucking amazing.
Yeah, just she was an incredible person.
It was cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Trish was awesome.
She's awesome. And what did we do the whole ride back to the hotel?
Smell my phone.
Smelled your phone.
You guys are fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
I might have put it next to my genitals at one point, too. It was my phone. Whatever.
But anyway, so I met... he ended up upstairs from that, and it was like that's like literally like a life highlight.
Now, I wish I would have met him. I'm very jealous of him.
Yeah, and so to get back to when I found out he died, like, dude, I was like crushed. Like, I had like a bad reaction to it. She was with me, and she walked over to me, and she was like, "Are you okay?" Like, she could just tell, and I was like, "No, I'm not."
That was Bobby Heenan?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, "No, I'm not okay." And she's like, "What's wrong?" I was like, "Bobby Heenan's dead."
I was like, what?
Which is weird, right? Because he's not a family member of yours. He's not even an acquaintance.
Yeah, but I like him more than anyone in my family.
But
Eddie's a crier. And so like
Fucking episode with this.
Yeah, he's a crier. No, but I mean, we've had this before. Like, I mean, I'm just, oh my God, I'm dreading the day like...
Flair.
Oh.
Hogan.
Flair. No.
AJ.
Not AJ Styles, by the way. They're dog AJ.
Well, maybe also I just... Ozzy, I'm dreading.
Yeah.
Dave Mustaine.
No.
Christina from Lacuna Coil.
Howard.
Oh, Christina.
Lindsey Sterling.
No.
She'll outlive me.
Iron Maiden.
Oh, anyone from Iron Maiden?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian? No.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, no. Yeah, I'm dreading
it. It was rough, man.
No, he takes a lot. He has a big heart. And
I do.
You do.
He loves people, like, in a way that I've never... seen, you know,
and even people that are not family or acquaintances, like you feel you grew up with them,
yeah,
like
more than
they were in your life. Yeah,
most of my family and acquaintances I don't really like.
You guys,
to be honest,
like, I don't know if this is too much. You can cut it. He didn't cry when his dad died, they were not talking.
Yeah,
no, he like, no, I'm like cried when we were at the restaurant and like, who died? And we did all the shots of Jack?
I don't know.
And then we watched Pantera 3 the next day.
Oh, Vinny.
Vinny.
Vinny Paul.
Oh,
Vinny.
God, no.
Yeah, we were in a restaurant. Oh, I got a text that Vinny Paul was dead.
Yeah.
And y'all got fucked up that night.
Yeah.
But I would have done the same thing with the brain, but it was like a Sunday, and it was like we were in a jewelry store.
Well, I think
but,
the
I
mean, next like, time we hung out, we did shots for the brain. Right, same with Dusty, but like...
Right, but that's how big of a deal it was. Like, I literally remember, like, there were a handful of people where I'm like, I know exactly where I was when there's like Vinny Paul, Dimebag, Bobby Heenan, Michael Jackson, because I had tickets to see his stupid show.
You did.
We did.
You know, like, that's... Bobby Heenan was on that level for me. Like, it was like... Yeah. It was... The dude was incredible. And already, I think the show's running a lot longer than we already thought it was going to be.
Oh, what are we at? We had said 20 minutes.
We said, okay, we're 26 minutes.
Okay, right. That's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
Could be worse.
But
remember you didn't want to like come back in 7?
Yeah. But anyone who's listening to this who wants to understand how great the brain was, what would you recommend they watch?
I would say WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
Because he actually has several matches that he manages in, and he actually busts himself into the broadcast booth at one point.
He did.
And starts complaining about the Hercules match where Billy Jack threw up on his guy's back.
Right.
Who his guy was Hercules.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that guy.
And,
ew.
Yeah. That's Heenan was managing Hercules in that match. Like, WrestleMania 3 was a big deal for Heenan. Like, that, like, in terms of Heenan Knights, WrestleMania 3 was up there, dude. Like, yeah. That's got to be one of the tops. And he actually broke into the announcer booth and was like going into business for himself. Like, I should be 3-0. This is bullshit. Like, it was fantastic, but it was vintage Heenan. And you're like, why is this manager breaking into the announce booth? Because he was that fucking good.
Well, right. And if you're a new listener, maybe the previous, maybe another episode, we're not sure how this is going to release, but we just did a WrestleMania 3.
Yes, yes we did.
Episode.
So I'll give you what I think people should watch. Number one, whatever city you're in, type in Bobby Heenan promo and your city, right? Because there are going to be YouTube videos.
House shows.
Of him promoting house shows, right? There are like probably a dozen of videos of him promoting house shows in Oakland or in San Francisco at the Kyle Palace.
Yeah.
My favorite is what he says. Oh, Oakland, lovely town. They put the city limit signs on the same post. Like the stupidest joke.
What?
But for me, my all-time favorite Bobby Heenan clip would be the 1992, right? Or
when Flair won the belt?
That was 92, right?
That was 92.
The 92 Royal Rumble. Bobby Heenan was on commentary, and Ric Flair was number 3 in the ring.
Losing his shit.
He was beside himself. He spent an hour complaining that this is not fair to Flair.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he was going berserk, and he was – I mean, that was Bobby Heenan at his best. It was like one-liner, 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 one-liner. I mean, he was on fucking fire, and then Flair won.
Yes.
And then they went backstage and did that promo.
And Heenan's back there.
And that – right. Heenan's there with Perfect and Flair, and that's the famous put that cigarette out promo, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you could see like – Heenan was not the focal point of that interview.
No, not at all.
But he's losing his shit in the background. Like, he's so happy. Like, it feeds into more how incredible he was.
And that's part of what was so good about him is he knew when he was not the focal point.
Yes.
Right?
Like, he could accentuate the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever did that. He's the best manager of all time. He's the best color commentator of all time.
Yes.
And when you figure in how great he was in the ring and like people look at him and think like, oh, he wasn't even a wrestler, but like go watch him work. And just factor in how many things he did at such a high level. He's the greatest performer in the history of wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
We love you, Heenan. And literally every day we miss you.
Absolutely. Like I watch so much old school wrestling, and every time I either see him or hear him, and like, yeah, I do. I miss him.
Yep.
He was the greatest.
And we made it through this episode without crying, which is unprecedented. We thought we were going to for sure.
I did cry a little. So as we leave, I just have one thing to say. Who is Bobby Heenan? So I guess I'll have to listen to this episode to find out.
You stop?
I'll have you taken out of here.
As we leave, please do follow us on Twitter and Instagram, wrestling_drunk. Be sure to hit subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you listen. And if you liked hearing a bunch of drunk idiots talk about wrestling again, please leave us a review wherever you listen. It really does help, but the most helpful thing is to tell your friends about us. And so, like always, enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, and remember, drink like nobody's watching. Cheers.
Dive.
Cheers.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack.
I don't need no shirt, no. Gonna take them pants right off.
He's about to jack it.
On such a bright day, who needs underwear or socks?
Jacking it.
Been around God's country and there's one thing I know. There's no better place for jacking it than San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Jacking it, jacking it, jack.
Jacking, spanking it, spanking it, smack.
Come to San Diego, there's so much to see. From the sparkling waters of Mission Bay to the warm tortillas of Old Town. And after a day of sightseeing, why not try spanking it in one of our charming city streets? San Diego, come, take a load off.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smackity smack. Whacking it, whackity whack. Spanking it, jerking it, smackity smack.
The cars are passing me by, they honk and say hello.
Hey, that guy's jacking it.
From his window, there's a guy shooting video.
Video of him jacking.
And if the good Lord Jesus comes knocking on my door, just tell him that I'm jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack.
He's about to jack it.
Jacking it, jack, jacking it, jacking it. Whacking, whacking, spank, whack, spanking it, whack.
Look at me, I'm
jacking it. Whacking, jacking, jack, whacking it, whack. Whacking, spanking, spanking, whacking, whack, stacking it.
He's about to jack it.
San Diego, jack, jack, whacking it, whack. Whacking, San Diego,
whacking it, whack. Keep on whacking,
whack, whack, whacking it. San Diego, whack, whack, whacking it, jack it.